Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hour two, it's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get into some Celtics talk. Nice win for them last night. 125-105 over the Cleveland Cavaliers, the perceived best team in the Eastern Conference, or at least you feel that way, right?
I like them. Yeah, I think they're my favorite team in the East.
Celtics used it was a wild first quarter.
I was going to say, good news, bad news. Good news, you scored 40 points.
42-40, yeah. So a ton of scoring early. Donovan Mitchell was doing his thing early. Sam Hauser was hitting every three imaginable. Mm-hmm. And then Mitchell kind of vanished for the rest of the game. Celtics turned on the gas in the second quarter, 35-18. They closed on a 20-3 run. Jaylen hit a bunch of threes right before halftime, falling into the bench, buzzer beaters, like a lot of good stuff from Jaylen last night. And the Celtics kind of coasted from there. Cavs made it close late. But never really a true threat. Celtics have now won two in a row. They're 2-3. Things seem to be heading in the right direction all of a sudden. So, I don't know, a couple of days ago, Keith, we're like, yeah. Should the Bruins tank?
Yes.
Should the Celtics tank? We were like,
TBD.
No, but get back to us.
Yeah.
Or should both tank? The answer also no. Now with the Celtics, this is a little closer to what I expected them to look like. I didn't go into last night expecting a win over the Cavs, never mind a dominant win over the Cavs. But this is kind of closer to what I expected him to look like, and they should be a playoff team. They should be a top six seed with an outside shot at a top four seed. I still believe that.
Yeah, they needed this one. You know, five games into the season, you know, they lose to the Knicks the way they lost to the Knicks, so be it. I thought they'd beat either the Sixers or the Pistons. They're like, maybe grab one of those games. Because at that point, they beat the Pelicans without Zion. So as much as people are clowning on the Patriots for their schedule, you're like, all right, the Pelicans without Zion. Like, what is even that team? So they're at home against Cleveland. I think it's a good measuring stick game earlier in the year, and they beat them, and they had a great game, their best performance of the season by far. You know, small sample size, but far and away their best performance. Now, it is one of those games where I don't know exactly how much it tells you, because if you said they're going to make a ton of threes, I bet they win those games. Right,
well, like, I do.
And
I agree with that.
And that can be against anybody. That can be against the Cavs. That could be against the Knicks. That could be against one of the good Western Conference teams.
They took 57. They made 21. That's only 37%.
But 35% is a good spot for them.
They are making volume. 20 plus as well, which is probably a big number. Is a big number.
So you have 63 points from three, and you know they went to the line a decent amount. So it wasn't like they were just falling in love with the three. Like, they went to the line. They didn't take a million twos. They took way more threes than they did twos. The biggest surprise was they out-rebounded Cleveland. Cleveland's huge. You're looking at it, you're like, Cleveland, that's not a good matchup. I mean, they start Mobley and Allen, the Twin Towers, DeAndre Hunter, and you're like, that's a big team. And credit to Kata and the lawnmower, Josh Minot, who had another good game. He had 15 rebounds, Minot did.
Yeah, so three guys had double-doubles for the Celtics last night. Pritchard had it with assists, and then those two with rebounds.
So I'm not shocked that they had a game where Hauser and Brown are hitting threes. That's going to happen throughout the year, and they make a bunch of threes. But for them to out-rebound the Cavs the way that they did, that was surprising. Also, speaking of Minot, You see his sneaks? I loved his sneaks, so I even stopped to look up his sneakers.
No, I guess I didn't notice.
I loved his sneakers.
Were there little lawnmowers on them?
They're little lawnmowers, little tiny lawnmowers. No.
That'd be a good shoe.
They were sick. They were like yellow, they were pink, they were blue. So I'm like, I want those sneakers. I looked them up. Kevin Durant's. I was like, ugh, can't get them. Can't get them. They're like the KD 16s or whatever. I was like, I'm out. Unfortunately,
what?
I'm out.
Is everybody going to know that's what they are when you're wearing them? Or are they just going to be like, cool colors?
I would know.
You would know.
I would
know.
No, not everybody would know.
You couldn't live
with
that.
I'm guessing when I pick up CeCe at school, the teacher wouldn't be like, oh, those are the KDs? What are you, a Durant fan? Like, no, no. No, no, I just like the style.
No, I'm not. They just look really cool.
So I had to pivot off of that. I was a little annoyed.
My shoe game, this might shock you, never strong. Back in my basketball days, even pickup days, like a lot of guys would always be talking about shoes. They're like, oh, what are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Where'd you get this?
Yeah.
Never got one question about my shoes.
Nobody cared.
I'm like,
New Balance, yeah, regular New Balance.
I don't know. These are Nikes from like Nordstrom Rack. I don't know. Like they're not anybody's shoe. Yeah. They're just high top so I don't break my ankle.
You're the old Converse All-Stars?
Nothing special. No, the one I did have, this is true. I did have the Starberries.
Oh, Starberry, $15.
Yeah, those were like $20.
$15. LeBron James made fun of him for that.
He did. I did own Starberry.
Which is why LeBron's a coward.
I did own Starberries at one point. They were not great for my ankles, but I did own those.
So Stephon Marbury is doing a really nice thing for kids that don't have money, and LeBron's like, I'd never wear those. Nobody should wear those. Well, get my shoes. They're $200. You guys can afford that, right?
That's why he's the show's goat. He charges a nice high premium on his shoes.
He's a clown. And he never should have said that about the Starberries. The Starberries weren't bad. $15, that's a nice thing he was doing.
I mean, look. They were cheap, and you could run around in them. Yeah. I don't think they were saving your ankles for much. No. But you know, whatever. So you like the Minot shoes.
Well, unfortunately, they're Durant shoes.
You think they're helping his game?
His game's good right now. Minot's kind of nice.
So I do not want to do what Scal and Drew Carter were doing on the broadcast last night.
Oh, my God.
They had some good zingers about Jalen and his hairline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the Minot conversation was
he's also gonna win all the Tommy Awards,
so I mean, my God. So they were just so over the top last night. I even shudder to even give a compliment to Minot because of how positive they were.
Well, this is what's happening.
I want to like naturally push back on it.
You need to do this isolated because it's the same thing that happens with McDaniels. You push back on McDaniels only because so many people are too pro McDaniels.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But Minot, forget about what Scal and Drew were saying.
Well,
about
I can't. I can't get it out of my head. It was the whole second half. They're like, oh, my God, what a player this guy is. This guy's going to be something. What I will say is,
he's frisky.
We said a lot. Joe Mazzulla is going to prove his worth this year, and we're going to find out what he has. And if he can get this team to the playoffs without Tatum and all the guys they subtracted, we're going to give Joe a lot of credit. If he can't, it's going to stand out. Moves like Minot. I like the Luka Garza move at the time. I didn't even pretend to know who Minot was.
Yeah.
But I like the Luka Garza move at the time. I like what I've seen out of him.
Yeah.
Little moves like that are going to show...
savvy.
Well, some value in Brad Stevens as a front office guy. And we already know what he's capable of. Some of the big ticket moves and the massive moves that won him a championship.
Oh, when he's allowed to actually like do the job and he crushes it. But well, then those little moves are going to help him.
Well, and I think a lot of GMs can do that. It's like, go get a star player who's available. Well... great, you got to actually do it, but I think the degree of difficulty on that might not be as difficult as identifying some of these guys who might be a good system fit that are useful NBA players. So I guess I hadn't really thought about Brad Stevens showing his worth this season. In fact, I was ready to mostly give him a free pass because all the guys they subtracted were forced and dictated by ownership. This has the potential to show his value. I don't want to be Scal and Drew Carter waxing on about Minot. Why not? For the whole second half.
Yeah.
But that has the potential to show some of his value as a front office.
It goes back to when Wick Rosbeck was on months ago on the Greg Hill show, and they were talking about getting under the second apron, and he's like, thank God for Brad Stevens.
Yeah, sure.
And you're like, all right, they're going to put a lot of pressure on Stevens. So they're like, hey, you just built a championship team. You now need to blow up the championship team. But by the way, we still want to be competitors. And so I thought, moving on from Drew Holiday and bringing in a scorer like Simons was a great move. Like, that was an obvious one. That's one, you know, just anybody who watches basketball knows Simons could score. The other guys, those are deeper cuts. And even like last year when they brought in Cada. Cada had a great game last night.
Yep.
Double-double, holding the zone against two of the better bigs in the Eastern Conference.
And he was frustrating them. I don't know if it was specifically those two. He was frustrating that Tyson kid who looked good for Cleveland last night.
Yeah.
But he was frustrating Cleveland. Like, the way he was playing was agitating them. And, no, he's been – look, he was a good find as well.
That was a big question going into the year, and it was also one where you're like, well, this could get dicey because you're like, all right, you're going to start Brown and White, awesome. I still would switch Pritchard. I know he had a bunch of assists. Couldn't buy a three yesterday, but I would switch him and Simons. But regardless, you know what those are. The 4-5 spot, I think they're still kind of searching for it, but they may have found it. This might be the answer, is Kata and Minot. And then maybe a little bit more Garza. And then use Hauser. There are nights where Hauser has it, and then there are nights where he doesn't. And so I don't like when he starts. I think he could be like a weapon off the bench. He can be very effective. I mean, he'll probably finish in the top, 5 to 10 in 3-point percentage this year. He's like a useful player. But when you're like, all right, here's your starting four, and you're going up against Evan Mobley, you can't. And they didn't. No. They didn't do that. He didn't start last night. But he's probably your seventh man, as it were. But if Kata and Minot, I'm not expecting a double-double out of Kata every night, but if he's doing something like that, that gives you a chance, right? It's not like you have really good wing players and then you have way below average bigs. Like, as long as you're getting closer to average, you might be okay.
So you guys can discuss on the Celtics. Seems like a season back on. We can table the tanking talk
for
another couple of weeks. Again, it's 617-779-7937.
They got an NBA Cup game tomorrow, Jones. I didn't get that one circled.
I know that. I actually was looking, after you mentioned this to me yesterday, I was unaware of it. I was looking at their NBA Cup group. It's a tough group, Keith.
Are they in a tough group?
I think they're group B.
Oh, they got screwed on the committee?
You know what? They did. I don't know if they pick it like FIFA picks
they
the World Cup.
They should do a World Cup. They should do a big show. Big
they absolutely should. I would probably watch it.
NBA TV exclusive?
I would probably watch it.
Yeah.
But I think in their group, it's Philly, who's playing really well.
Yeah.
And they already lost to.
Yeah,
that's Maxie's, who the game is tomorrow.
Maxie looks nice.
It's Orlando, Brooklyn, which was the easy team in there. There's one other team that I thought was halfway decent in their group. But yeah, NBA Cup underway. I'm excited for it. You mentioned their 3-point shooting, though.
Oh, I got it. It's Boston, Detroit, Orlando, Philly, and Brooklyn.
Detroit was the other one. Thank
Detroit,
you.
Sorry. So, they're East Group B for those that are trying to keep an eye out for it.
Well, I think they could take it down.
Okay.
57 threes last night. They made 21. To your point, if they're going to make 20 plus threes and they're going to hit 35 plus percent, they were almost 37% last night, they're probably going to win a lot of games. How sustainable is that? We can discuss. We talked about Derek White yesterday and his 3-point attempts. He is now officially by himself. Yesterday, he was tied for the most 3-point attempts per game. He took 12 last night, so it went up a little bit, made three. He is at 11.2 3-point attempts per game. He's making 31%. But that is the most attempts.
No, he's not.
I'm sorry.
No, 31, that's his field goal percentage.
I'm sorry, you're right. He's making 25%
on
threes.
Yeah.
Sorry, 31% is his field goal percentage. So that's out of whack. They got to get that right. White had some real nice passes last night, lobs at the rim. Mm-hmm. So I'm not telling you he's giving you nothing else, but that's out of whack. He's probably the most out of whack in terms of shot selection. But he is number one in the NBA. The Celtics, I didn't realize this when we were talking about White yesterday. They have four of the top 3-point attempt shooters in the league, four in the top 25.
Pritchard, White, Hauser, Brown?
White is first, not Brown. White is first at 11.2. Hauser is eighth at 9 threes a game.
Oh, it's got to be Simons then.
Pritchard is 22 at 7.4, and Anthony Simons is at 7.2. 25th in the NBA. Just for good measure, Jalen is just outside the top 40, 6.4.
But you got to shoot at least 35% if you're going to take that many of them. And maybe Derek White will balance out, and he will. And Pritchard's off to a really bad shooting start.
So Hauser's at 46%. Pritchard's at 19%.
Yeah, Pritchard can't buy one. He was 1 of 8 from three last night.
Simons is 42, including the one he banked in last
night. Yeah, so Hauser and Simons, well, I mean, all four of those guys clearly have the green light, and Joe wants all those guys to shoot them. But at least Hauser and Simons, it's more efficient right now. The other two guys are going to get going. Because Derek White was one of those kind of swing players. Like, for this team to get the most out of what they have, he has to play like an all-star. He can't just be, oh, Derek White's scrappy and he's on a good contract. That's great if you have Tatum and Holiday and Porzingis and Horford. All those guys are gone. So he has to be the second best player on the team. And I don't really know consistently. He hasn't really been that so far.
No, I would agree with that. Jalen has consistently been their best player,
yep,
though.
Yep.
And, I mean, look, they're 2-3. I don't want to make any excuses for their slow start. I didn't have big issues with them losing to the Knicks or even the Pistons. I know they were up huge in the Detroit game early. Detroit might be better than them.
Yep, Detroit's good.
The Philly game, and I know Philly's undefeated, but the Philly game to me was disappointing.
Yeah.
Or did Philly played last night? Didn't they win? Did they lose? I should double check that. They were undefeated going into last night anyways. But no, I look at the way that they've played. The Philly one is the one that stands out. Maybe Philly didn't play.
No, Philly didn't play. They're still 4-0.
So maybe they're better than I thought. Maybe long term, I'll feel differently about that one. But their 2-3 start, that's the game that really bothers me. Jalen looks like an alpha, right? I mean, he looks
he's a clear-cut all-star. But, like, the thing is, you don't want him to be the all-star on a bad team, right? Like, that's the thing is, like, there's usually a guy or two that you can point to and be like, oh, that guy's really good.
Right now they're 2-3, and I'm saying they probably should be 3-2. Is five games. Like, I don't want to overreact to a record. I don't want to ignore it, but I don't want to overreact to it. I'm just monitoring it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he looks like a guy who could be the best player on a playoff team in the East, meaning a top six seed in the East. I'm not really counting the play-in. He looks like he's capable of doing that, and they're capable of doing that. And he carried them last night for a stretch against, again, what we think might be the best team in the East in Cleveland. So I would put some value in that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he is, like, clearly – there's no questions about whether or not he's their best player, but that also speaks to the other guys, specifically Derek White, maybe not being as consistent, because you thought maybe Derek White could kind of push that. You know, you go back to last year, the games without Tatum, there were nights where Derek White has awesome games. And really, it's been more Jaylen Brown. I would like to see him be a little bit more of a playmaker, and that's not really
thing. I got to look at the numbers. I was looking at these during the show yesterday when we were talking to Terp. His assists were, like, right in line with his career as of yesterday.
Right,
Turnovers were way up, but most of that was one bad game. But I can give you the numbers here if you want.
But I just think, you know, when you have a guy like Tatum who had the ball in his hands all the time last year, and you remove him and even, like, Holiday from the team, I would think Brown's numbers should go up there.
Yeah, right?
Like under four assists a game.
His scoring is up. His percentages are up. Again, it's five games.
Yep.
But he's shooting 52% from the floor, which would be a career high. He's shooting 47% from three, which would be a career high. Free throw percentage is right in line with his career. Rebounds, 5.6, that's down from last year. Assists, 3.8, that's down from last year. Turnovers, 3.6, that's way up from last year.
I mean, could also argue, well, he's not passing to as good a teammates as he did a year ago. Like, there's a little bit of that, but they got guys that can score. They got guys that can shoot. So I would just think, you know, with all the attention, and as the season goes, there's going to be more and more attention by the opponent just on Jaylen Brown. You know, like, that was the other thing. Like, last year, you know, you got the double team on Tatum, or you got to do different things defensively, and now Brown is going to be sort of the centerpiece. So teams should make it harder on him, but if he can be a little bit more of a playmaker, that could also take his game to the next level.
I thought we were getting a new Jalen haircut. I thought he was going to shave his head. I thought that was the whole talk on the live stream.
No, he didn't. He should.
Did anybody?
Because I was like, remember, like, Michael Jordan early in his career had, like, a little bit of hair, then at one point he was like, nah.
It's gone.
All gone.
It's... I'm losing it anyways.
It's leaving me.
I'm not gonna as it goes. This. So it's out.
Shave it all the way.
Did he leave any marks on anybody last night?
Did you notice it wasn't as, like, dark?
It wasn't.
So he didn't. I think he got exposed for that. He's like, I can't make that mistake. I'm not gonna spray paint my head before the game.
I don't want to be on the list with LeBron and Carlos Boozer and some of the other notoriously horrible fake hairlines.
You really noticed it when they zoomed in at the free throw line, and you're like, he's.
It's thin up there.
It's kind of light. A little light.
I can see quite a bit of his scalp.
Oh, I wonder.
Which I wasn't seeing in a couple of games before.
Speaking of seeing the game, what is your take on the new camera angles they've been showing this year?
I hate it.
Well, same.
The thing high up in the garden where it's, like, floating around and I want to puke.
Trash.
Yeah. I actually had to talk about that after the opener.
Same.
I kind of forgot about that.
Same. I forgot about
that,
it too.
But that, I hate that.
I do too. Now, I also hate change. So just give me the game the way the game has always been played. However, I forget which game it was they were talking about. It might have even been the first game. And they're like, oh, yeah, it gives you, like, more of the court.
It was the opener. 100% was the opener, yeah.
It didn't give you more of the court. It's just like I'm going to throw up angle.
Right. It gives me more barf on my floor gives me, yeah.
You're like, oh, you like where it used to be? No, we're going to go, like, diagonal and move it the whole time. Right. I'm like, just keep it steady.
No, there's something to be said.
I don't like that.
There's something to be said for, like, a video game angle. Nick, were you the one saying this about the Thursday night broadcast? Was this you?
Oh, they do a weird angle, too.
Who was telling me about this? Prime, you can watch,
you can do the next-gen version of it, line of scrimmage.
But supposedly it's, like, not – you're not super – this is what I heard secondhand. I thought it was you. I guess it was somebody else. You're not overly inundated with, like, the analytics like you are on some of these secondary broadcasts, but you get, like, the video game view of the broadcast.
No, I don't want that.
Maybe, but if it is the camera stationary, this thing isn't stable or stationary. It's like floating around.
I don't like it. It makes me kind of sick. I mean, just go back to the regular one.
Go back to the regular one.
You can see the whole court. You never couldn't see the whole court. What are you talking about?
Maybe they wanted to get further away on the home broadcast to not expose his thinning hairline.
Maybe. They're like, yeah, Jalen's like, go back to the old one. Go back, or the new one, I mean. Go to the new camera's great.
The further away you are, the less you can see his scalp. So maybe that's not what's going on.
I know. Like, do you want like a mid-priced seat? You're like, no. I want to watch it on TV, like regular.
This is not even the tickets I want if I go to the garden. These are the tickets I probably get.
I know.
These aren't even the tickets
up?
I want.
Can we look around? We may move up, find a loose seat.
Oh, well, that's where the Celtics are at. Season saved. The tank is on hiatus for now.
The Celtics have won back-to-back, and you can talk about that this morning on this show. And NFL trade deadline is Tuesday, and you can talk about that on this show and on this radio station all day long today. This is Rob from Swampscott. Rob, good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up?
So I'm hearing all this talk about receivers or players that the Patriots can target, and I'm surprised that I've not heard a name. And what if I told you that there's a receiver out there who's on a losing team that's going nowhere? He has proven that he has hands and can catch, and he has proven that he can separate, and he's been in the Josh McDaniels offensive system before.
Antonio
Brown.
That
individual is Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Why wouldn't the Patriots go hard to bring him back?
The lateral.
They're not using him. What is it?
The lateral. That will just never be forgotten.
It's like the butt fumble.
But, right. but it's the old regime that jettisoned him. And if the new regime brings him in, think about that. If you had Booty, Diggs, and Jacoby Myers, and then Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. There's five legitimate targets, and they all can catch the ball.
My pushback would be just like, what does Jacoby Myers bring that someone like Stephon Diggs doesn't already bring better? And I think that's kind of like that.
He's got size over Diggs.
Well, here's what
Rob, let me jump into this one real quick.
Go ahead,
Rob. You know who Jacoby Myers is that the Patriots have? It's kind of Mac Hollins, like, you know, you guy with size. Guy that is sure-handed, can make those difficult catches across the middle.
Doesn't wear shoes.
Is not really a big run-after-catch guy. Is not really – speed is not part of his game. It's about, you know, size. And I feel like if you bring in Jacoby Myers, you kind of already have that with Mac Hollins. So you wouldn't really – Steph Diggs is a completely different player than Jacoby Myers is. But if you're comparing players, like – Mac Hollins is similar to what you would get from Jacoby Myers, so I don't think you need to bring in that.
That's why you're targeting guys like A.J. Brown, who's a freak athlete, legit number one, or even like if you're going lower end, you're looking at guys like Rashid Shaheed, who have like field tilting speed.
Yeah.
Like that's what you need.
Yeah, yeah. You already got your possession big body receiver in
I'm just
Mac
afraid
Hollins.
Of getting my hopes up.
Right.
Yeah, I've kind of.
I really am.
Totally
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're never going to have any – you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Michael Scott said that. Mm-hmm. So you might as well go after one of these guys. And they have the resources. It's a destination. And when we talk so positively about guys like Austin Hooper and Mac Hollins, that's the Drake May effect. That's a guy that's elevating people around him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure you can rely on those guys being elevated in playoff games. That's when you need guys like A.J. Brown or someone to that at that level.
Right. I mean, I'm kind of like I'm preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't – the A.J. Brown thing, I've kind of moved on. That ship has sailed for me. I'm more –
Where would you be on Chris Olave, Wiggy?
I would like that because Chris Olave has that kind of like field tilting speed. He has that ability to be a big playmaker when it comes to deep shots downfield. And I know how we love the way Drake May throws the deep ball. So I would be in on Chris Olave.
Okay. Wiggy, good morning. They said it coming up in 10 minutes. And we will hear what Christian Gonzalez said about Steph Diggs and how the media has had it wrong when it comes to that player. That's coming up, among other things. But a lead from Wiggy. Right
all right,
now.
All right. Good morning. So I will say this, Jalen, hell of a job, man, what you've been doing. Let it go and look at Morris Chestnut. The women love the chocolate drop ball headed dudes with the beards. I'm telling you. So
wait, this is your lead?
No, no, no. I'm just saying this is for him. He's out there. He's trying. I'm telling you, bro, let it go. The ladies love the bald-headed chocolate drops with the beard. You'll elevate your stuff.
Give me an example of that.
Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah. Who else?
Somebody that you might remember, Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes.
Oh, yes.
And we've seen both.
Very popular with the ladies in the 70s, especially.
Right,
Isaac
so
Hayes.
Somebody that you could kind of relate to.
Right.
But my lead is this. It's not about Jaylen Brown's his head. Look. There he is.
Well,
you see him on.
Yeah, but I'm watching it on Twitch on my phone, on my computer. Jaylen Brown, we've seen a photo of him completely shaved, and he looks great. So,
But that's where you should go. You know what I mean? Forget it. Let it go. It's like the song says, sometimes you got to let it go. But I would say this, great win by the Celtics. They have to stop with the three pointers. They are just not their team no more. Derek White and P. Pritch, they cannot throw the ball in the ocean when it comes to from behind the three-point line. I put a lot of it on P. Pritch because he's taken on.
Of course you do. What about the coach?
No, no, I'm saying he's taken on a bigger role. If I was the coach, I would take him out of the starting lineup.
Okay.
I think they're asking him to do more, and I think the coach is making a bad decision here when it comes to P. Pritch. And if I was the coach, I would tell Derek White, listen, use your size, use your length, use your athletic ability in the sense of, you know, don't rely on the three-pointer. You're shooting. I think he's shooting 25% from three-point land, and he shoots almost 11 three-pointers a game. Like, cut that in half. You know, get to the rim, get to the free throw line, change up your game. Look at Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is the best player, and I give him credit. He only shoots about 6 three-pointers a game, and I'm cool with that. Hauser, he's shooting around 8. I'll take that because that's kind of what he does. And I don't mind that, but I think when I'm looking at P. Pritch and I'm looking at Derek White, these are guys that are going to be big factors into where you go. And as the coach, I blame Mazzulla for starting P. Pritch because give him a few more games. If he's not able to kind of turn it around a little bit, say, hey, we're going to go back to you being six-man.
But that has been his philosophy since he took over as a head coach. And I know it's not going to change. Are you telling me that those guys are just out there on their own, dribbling 3 times and lobbing 3s from half court? Like, they're doing what he wants them to do.
But well,
they're looking
clearly
for the 2-on-1. They but find I, the 2-on-1. Well,
yeah, he can yell all he wants about how he prefers the 2-on-1 opportunity, but they continue to do what Wiggy is right about. Wiggy's right about it. Like, if you don't have the shooter, you can't throw 33 point attempts up and expect to win the basketball game, and especially when your issue is rebounding. Like, and I understand that they are limited when it comes to a center to like what they have there, but
you see how they helped out their rebound game. What they did is what I told them to do: start Josh Minot, and he had 15 rebounds last night. He's been a big factor past couple of games as a starter when it comes to rebounding. Nemus Cade has been great as a rebounder. The guards just going to have to get more involved. I think with this team, and that's my biggest thing is, I get it. It is like he does give them the green light, but some guys, they go beyond the green light.
Okay, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
High Noon, Jones and Keith, WEEI, every Wednesday at High Noon. You know what time it is. It's time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin from WEEI, and apparently also Nesson TV. We got TV Terp with us here, Keith.
TV Terp, unbelievable.
How'd that go?
Things have changed.
Our little Terp is going just big time all of a sudden.
It's much nicer to be able to wear a hat and sweatpants or whatever.
Agreed.
Here, which that part of it's nice, but it's
way
cool.
More comfortable.
It was fun.
Here.
I came into work the other day. I go, business Terp. I thought he had Celtics press conference, Celtics practice. I didn't know what
something
it was
going on,
and he didn't even tell. I came from television.
He's a humble man.
He didn't want to get hit with the brag of the
That's
week.
That's exactly what it was.
You didn't want to get
That's
hit
exactly
with a real life brag
was.
Of the week. Yep. That's what it was.
Ken came screaming down the hallway. He's like, "Terp was on TV. Terp was on TV." I was like, "All right."
TV Terp. Yeah. Well, we tried to tell you. Terp's going places.
Right.
He's here every Wednesday at High Noon with the latest on the Celtics. Now, Terp, you told us to wait it out. Wait out the first seven games of the year.
It could be a slow start.
It's going to be a slow start for the Celtics. Wait for the win total to drop. Go bet the over on the win total after the first seven games, I think the number was. I know you expected a slow start. Did you expect it to be this slow?
I mean, I think it's gone kind of as expected, right? They're hanging in there with the bad teams, the teams that they should, and they're not really hanging in with the good teams, like New York. I mean, that game, aside from the second quarter, was probably a little closer than I thought it would have been. Like, New York's a better team. They're an Eastern Conference NBA Finals contender. The Celtics aren't. I mean, the Sixers. We don't really know what to expect with that team, and turns out they might be better than we expected going into the year at 4-0 now, and VJ Edgecombe's been great. Tyrese Maxey's been great. So they held around on that one. So I think it's been kind of as expected. It just hasn't been pretty. I think the rebounding has been the big thing where it's like, whoa, like we knew this was going to be an issue, but we didn't think it was going to be this big of an issue.
How do you think Mazzulla's dealing with everything so far?
I mean, so far, so good, I think. I think he's giving the right messaging for this team that they're still figuring it out. And it's true. I mean, part of it, you know, the talent drain. We've been talking about that since June, like how much talent they lost. Like, that's just the reality of it. And they're also, it's guys in elevated roles playing with new faces. Like, there's eight new faces on this team. Like, that's a lot. And it's going to take time. It's not going to be something that happens overnight, especially with the schedule that they're playing.
It's the opposite of the Patriots. The Patriots got rid of all their bad players and brought in good players. The Celtics got rid of all their good players, with the exception of two, and then brought in a bunch of guys that are like average.
Yeah. I mean, look,
not great.
I like the lawnmower. I'd say more than most.
Sure you do.
Don't think that guy should be starting for an NBA team.
No.
As good as he looked the other night. But no, just circling back to their start, Terp, you say as expected. Well, the Knicks are better.
Right.
The Pistons might be better.
They're bigger.
Fine.
And are better.
Nice.
But usually one and one.
And I know the Sixers are undefeated. And I think is it just them and OKC? I think those might be the only two remaining undefeated teams. So maybe the Sixers are just better than I thought. That's the game that I guess really bothers
and
me.
And the Bulls and the Spurs.
Out of the start. Oh, they're also undefeated. Yeah. Okay, so I take that back.
How the Bulls are 3-0 is.
Didn't realize that. Maybe they're the two undefeated teams that won last night. But anyways, regardless, the Sixers loss still bothers me because of the way that went down. As a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. They led the Pistons early, but it was early, and Detroit might be better. I still don't think that about Philly, and if you are worse than Philly, and they're just a good team this year, well, then I way overrated this Celtics team. So I guess out of the first four games, that's still the one that bothers.
Yeah, I'm with you. That Philly game's one that they should have won. And, you know, this team is not in the position where they can be giving away wins. I mean, that's just the reality. They're going to be hard to come by. I still think, and I think we were all on the same page, that they can win north of 40, but they can't be giving away games like that, especially when Embiid was useless. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy was a ghost out there. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter, and you let two guys explode for 70-plus points, and you get killed on the offensive glass. You turn the ball over. I mean, it was just losing basketball. So, yeah, it's definitely right to be frustrated about that one because, again, this team's just not in the position to be giving away games.
Peyton Pritchard last year, obviously sixth man of the year, shot 40% from three. He's now starting. He's taking more shots, as we all expected him to take. He's not shooting well right now. It's only four games, but he's not shooting well from three. Should he stay in the starting lineup? I've always wanted him to come off the bench and stay coming off the bench. What do you do with him, and what do you make of his start?
Yeah, I'd probably take a little bit more of a patient approach with him. I mean, one, because he's earned it. He's earned the opportunity to start, or at least have the chance to start, and I don't think that's something you start thinking about taking away from him after four games. And second of all, he's been doing other things besides the scoring, which is going to increase, right? I think he's just missing open shots, like most of these shots that he's missing are ones that he makes. But he's also second in rebounds behind only Miashkata, tied with Jaylen Brown, and he leads the team in assists. So people are going to get caught up on the shooting because obviously that's the most important aspect of his game is his shooting, and they need him to be better in that regard. But he's been doing other things. So I'd be a little bit more patient, wouldn't be rushing him out of the starting lineup up after just four games.
Do you think there's a point in the year where they start Simons to pump up the trade value? Because, again, the main thing they've done this year is they've cut payroll. Simons, as you've told us before, is probably the contract that stands out more so than Hauser that would get them to dip below not just the second apron, but below the luxury tax. So is there a point in time where they try to inflate his trade value by increasing his playing time or even starting him?
Possibly. I mean, I don't think they would do it just to increase the value. I think they would do it for the reasons that we saw the other night, the way he shot the ball in the fourth quarter.
Well, he was great in that fourth quarter the other night.
When
he's
shooting like that, and that's what they're going to need from him. I mean, it's a tall ask, but he's definitely capable of it, right? He's made 200 threes in two of the last 3 years, was a 20-point-per-game scorer in Portland. Like, he's capable of shouldering that load. And you saw what it does to this offense when he's making those shots, or when anyone's making the shots, really. Like, that was the fourth quarter, the other night, was the first time this year that we really started to see, like, the Celtics of old with those threes that they're making. And that's kind of the key to it. It's not a coincidence that they finally win the three-point margin and they out-rebound their opponent and they win. I mean, that's what they're going to have to do on a nightly basis, and Anthony Simons is going to play a big role in that.
So real quick on the threes. I'm sorry, Keith, but they are tied for second in three-point attempts right now with New York, I believe. I was just looking this up. They're tied with New York. They trail Phoenix in three-point attempts. They're 0.2 off the lead for most attempts in the NBA. Last year, they were far and away the team that attempted the most, 48.2. I'm not surprised they're still shooting a lot of threes. I guess I'm surprised they're still that skewed to the top of the league given their personnel. Agree or disagree?
I mean, I'm really not because, I mean, it's kind of built for it. Like Derek White. I mean, what's he taking per game?
11.
Is that it?
Sam Hauser.
Yeah. Honestly, it feels like more.
It does.
Sam Hauser, almost 8. Simon, 7.5. Pritchard, 7. Jaylen Brown, almost 6.
Fine, like, but also they're now playing.
No Tatum, no Horford, no Porzingis.
And Kata is not a guy who's going to step out and shoot
different
threes. I mean, I know Minot's still shooting him. I'm not sure he should.
Garza popped a couple.
Garza's one who probably should be allowed to. I guess I'm just surprised with their personnel. They're still jacking up that many threes.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fair thing. Like you said, like, I mean, they don't have a true stretch five. Like, and that's kind of a big reason as to why you would have thought the numbers dropped a little bit. But, I mean, if the shot's there, if it's an open shot, they're going to take it. I mean, that's just their philosophy. So it doesn't matter really who it is. I mean, the shot is it's expected to be taken if it's open. So I really don't expect them to waver in that regard. And especially when you're so top heavy and at that top, like, the players that are at the top of that, you know, that roster are great three-point shooters. So I expect them to lean in on it.
Yeah, it's funny. Interesting three-game stretch for the rookie. Our show's rookie of the year, Hugo Gonzalez.
Yeah.
He plays well against the Knicks. He starts against the Pistons and then doesn't play against the Pelicans.
Or Philly.
Yeah, right.
So he's got two DMPs.
He was going to the table.
But that was the debut. I mean, so like, so he didn't play in the opener, which I'm like, okay,
right,
whatever.
Well,
like,
no, I'm just saying, his first four games, two DMPs, one he played well, and the other one was a start. Yeah.
So like, has Mazzulla obviously maybe not even figured out what his role is going to be or what should his role be?
Yeah, he hasn't figured out anyone's role, to be honest.
Maybe
I mean, you know, like guys like Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, you know those guys. But beyond that, he doesn't really know what anyone's role is going to be. So he's been mixing and matching with the rotation to, you know, figure out what he's got on this roster. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing is where they are deep is with their wings. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. Josh Minot can compete and he can play. Same with Hugo Gonzalez, and Jaylen Brown and Sam Hauser obviously can. So the wings are pretty deep. So he's still kind of figuring out what they have. And I thought him starting in Detroit might have been kind of a message, right? He comes in in New York, picks up Jalen Brunson full court on the first possession. He was hustling around everywhere, playing intense defense. And that's kind of what they're looking for, right? They're looking for that edge, for that swagger. That's what they're going to need to make up for the lack of talent on the roster. So I think he kind of sent a message in starting Hugo Gonzalez. And it's like, hey, all you guys on this roster, with the exception of the top guys, are fighting for what's next. They're all unproven, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, guys like Josh Minot, Luka Garza, Jordan Walsh, Baylor Scheinman, these guys are playing for what's next. They're playing for a spot in the NBA. And I think he sent a message to them by starting Hugo Gonzalez and saying, well, look, you can play if you bring the intensity and you bring the intangibles that we're looking for. So I think that was part of it. And Josh Minot brought that in the fourth quarter and in against Detroit, and then he got a start. So I'm not really surprised by that.
I was just looking at somebody texted this. I didn't realize Derek White is tied for the lead in 3-point attempts a game at 11.
Yeah, that's a big number.
It's him and making
it's,
two.
It's him and Markkanen. That's ahead of LaMelo Ball, Steph Curry, Dylan Brooks. That's a lot of threes for Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, well, Dylan Brooks is going to cool off a little bit.
Yeah, more than Mac. I mean, more than anybody. I mean,
Markkanen had a 50-point game the other night.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So that's wild. That's way too many threes for him.
But I'm not surprised. Remember when Tatum went down last year in the playoffs? It just turned into Derek White. Even before Tatum went down, actually, that playoff run, it was Derek White was just launching threes. It's all he does.
I mean, that. I don't love that. And it honestly, it feels like more than 11 a night.
And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it feels like a lot of them are like pull-ups too. They're not catch and shoot, which is part of the issue. And that's been another issue kind of with this team, is that the ball hasn't really been moving a ton. It's not a surprise the other night that they have 20 assists and it's their first win of the year. That was the first time they cracked 20. Like, they're at their best when they're moving the ball and they're creating for others. But when you don't have Jason Tatum, you don't have Drew Holiday, you don't have Kristaps Porzingis, it's so much harder to create offense using each other that a lot of it is creating for yourself. And I think Derek White's been kind of a casualty of that in percentages.
The playoff games last year without Tatum, I feel like kind of were a little foreshadowing of what we could see. Like, if the shots are falling, they're still a tough team to beat, right? Like, you got a bunch of guys that can fill it up. But then there are nights where it doesn't, and it's like you're not going to be able to score other ways. You're not going to rebound very well, and then they got just the doors blown off of them. So I guess that could be a little concerning. At what point, we brought up the topic yesterday about, you know, tanking for the Bruins, tanking for the Celtics. At what point, and I'm not there yet, to be clear, because I can't go from, hey, I think they can be the sixth seed, to watching four games and then me punting on it. But, like, at what point does that become a realistic conversation where you're like, all right, maybe Hugo Gonzalez plays a little bit more, and maybe like Baylor Shireman plays a little bit more, and maybe Jaylen Brown can rest on this game? Like, at what point do you think you look at something like that?
Yeah, I think you start looking that towards like kind of the middle of the year. That's when you start having those type of conversations, but I really don't expect them to. Okay. I just don't look at this core and this coaching staff and this front office as one that's going to be like, okay, we're just going to lean in and embrace this. Like,
about,
I think they're going to go
ownership?
Full in. I mean, ownership might with the luxury tax. I mean, we talked about that the other day.
They're
12 million over.
And the only reason I ask, because if ownership tells them to do it,
they have to. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Brad wanted to trade Porzingis and not re-sign Horford and trade Drew. Like, I don't think they wanted to do any of that. But when ownership says we're doing it, so fine. Maybe none of those guys are on board. What if ownership?
But I'd imagine, like, if they were to make a move to try to get under that, it would have to be Anthony Simons. And that wouldn't affect what you're doing with Jaylen Brown and Peyton Pritchard and Derek White. Unless ownership steps in and, you know, Jaylen Brown, for whatever reason, come February, his hamstring starts barking again, and they shut him down for a couple weeks. Maybe,
I mean, if there's
like
a real
that.
Injury there, then that's obvious. I mean, in 07, you know, Paul Pierce was hurt, but then it was like, he's probably going to come back, right? And then it was like, all right, you're good. And then you kind of just sit out the rest of the season. But no, I don't want to go there yet, but you see them, they're 1-3, as Jones points out, the one win, no Zion, and not a great Pelicans team.
And for three quarters, they weren't looking that great.
No, they weren't. And then tonight, Cleveland. Like, I like Cleveland.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Cleveland's nasty. Celtics are, I mean, they're at home, but Cleveland's one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean,
and they have a ton of size, which is
it's not a
big
great matchup
for them. Yeah. And same with Houston on Saturday. They're one of the biggest teams in the league. So, I mean, we talked about it really from when the schedule came out, is how hard these opening couple weeks are going to be. And it makes it even difficult. Like, again, when you have so many new faces, you have different guys playing with different players, playing in different roles. it's a lot harder to kind of ease into that when you're playing some of the premier teams in the league. So that's been a problem for them. But after this stretch, it really does open up.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Houston and Cleveland, they might have a lot of size. They're also way more talented than the Celtics these right. days. So that's a new problem for them as well, which didn't used to be their problem, again, before the new owner got here. Do you think we're going to see, and we see it every year in the sport, like by the end of the year, once you're out of it, we see it every year. Specifically, though, with the buzz around this draft class, starting with DeBonsta, right, the kid from Brockton, Boozer's kid, and I forget the kid's name at Kansas, but there's three kids who are like top flight, can't miss, quote unquote, draft picks. Do you think league-wide, even independent of the Celtics, we see more teams trying to tank, go to the top of the lottery, go to the top of the draft because of this draft class?
100%. And you've seen it even in the recent years, and the draft classes weren't even as strong. So, yeah, I think you definitely see that. And with this draft class already getting this much buzz in October, seems a little crazy that teams are already talking full-on tanks, and we haven't even reached Halloween yet. Like, some say that NBA shouldn't even start till November. So the fact that we're already having these conversations, I think, is pretty indicative of that, where, yeah, I think teams are going to go and try to get some of the top talent in this league. I mean, you could see how fast it can turn around if you can hit on one of those guys, especially in basketball. It can just change your trajectory. So, yeah, I can see teams doing that.
Friday's NBA Cup game, I believe.
It is.
Y'all
nice!
Jazzed up for that, Jones?
I mean,
a little Halloween NBA Cup?
Yes, I did. I'll be honest, that was not on my radar, but yes.
Sixers.
Yes. NBA Cup.
They could win. Now, in that one ESPN projection that they had, or the simulation where the Magic won the title.
Yep.
Celtics won the NBA Cup.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'll take that trade.
Something to play for. Banner.
I'll take that trade this year.
But it's getting crowded up there with all those banners. Make one for the in-season tournament. Not bad.
Didn't realize that.
I'm interested to see if they like put more stock into it. Like, last couple of years, they haven't been really interested in it. Obviously, they're going out and trying to win games, but mm-hmm. And they've cared when it mattered. They've cared about the point differential. But I'm curious to see if they go, like, really go for this thing this year and give them a chance to, as Joe Mazzulla would love, compete in a competitive environment and all that.
I think they should. You're not winning a title this year. I think you could still potentially – I want to ask you about Tatum coming up. I think you still potentially could go on a run if you figure things out and weather the storm until Tatum comes back in February, March, April, and now you have Tatum back on a team that's playing well. I still think you could go on a run in the East. But, yeah, you should prioritize winning these games and winning in a competitive environment in the NBA Cup. I thought that with good teams in the past. Never mind with this team.
I agree. One thing that we...
But you do agree. So you like the NBA Cup.
No, I don't like the NBA Cup. But I'm saying, like, they should... Right now, your point about this, they should try to win games, I'm in favor of.
Yeah.
But there also is a point, and I don't know. I might jump ship before the midway point of the season, but somewhere in, like, the 25-30 game. So, you know, jumping in front of your line a little bit. To be like, all right,
yeah,
like, okay, at this point, because of the draft class, because of, like, all right, you can't expect Tatum to come back and be the man. One thing I wanted to get Terp's take on, because this came out on Friday, so we even had a chance to talk about it. Did you see Jaylen Brown's comments asking about the gambling stuff?
No. Yes, where he's like, we don't even get any of the money from it?
I was like, okay. So there's been a lot of examples of this. Jaylen Brown thinks he's so much smarter than he really is, and this is just the latest example of it. And he stepped into a lot of stuff, remember, with the things that he, like, sharing on social media and his defense of Kyrie Irving. You're like, oh, man, like, a guy I want to root for, you say a lot of dumb stuff. This didn't offend as many people as some of the things that he has said in the past.
No, but it was
this was just
wrong.
So stupid.
Yeah.
He basically said, for those that missed it, he was asked about, you know, the gambling stuff, and he's like, oh, well, when this was introduced a few years ago, I don't think they took the players into consideration. We don't benefit from any of the profits.
Aren't the profits split? Players and owners? Yeah.
Right, and then the salary cap keeps going up because 50-50. Of how much money you make.
50-50 it's split.
But, I mean, they were on the road for that, so you weren't there in that scrum, right, when he was answering that question? Yeah, but, like, that's just sort of like an eye roll.
Especially for somebody so involved in the NBA.
Jaylen?
Part of the two.
Like, you might want to know about that.
I'm curious how much, and I'm sure not when the locker room is open and when you guys are in there, but how much the players are talking about what's going on with Terry Rozier. I mean, Brown was a teammate of Terry Rozier, so, like, for some of these guys to be like, like, and they probably all know who's involved in what and who isn't, and, like, I don't know. Kind of got to be a strange time right now for these guys.
For the NBA at large.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge deal. I mean, you can't overstate that enough. You had a player blatantly, like, throwing lines.
With a player and,
like,
a head coach, like, tied up in all this stuff.
Sitting
correct.
Head coach.
Right.
I mean, that's terrible.
Well, and what's the story that came out in the last 24 hours? Rozier owed
$8 million
on taxes or something like that. They were going to foreclose on his home or condo or whatever it was in Miami.
Yeah.
And so why did he need to take a dive? or tap out of a game because he's going to owe money. So these athletes, despite what they make, you go, oh, why are they chasing $100,000, this and that? Despite what they make, I mean, that's why.
Yep.
Certainly a huge deal. Maybe we'll get some answers on that from some of the players coming up. He had his live stream last night, right?
Yeah, Jalen did. Yeah. I saw clips of it. Yeah.
Are we getting a new hairdo tonight?
I think he had like a buzzer. I didn't watch it, to be honest, but I did see a clip that he like called LeBron and asked for hairline advice, which is hilarious.
Has he been asked about that, or was this the joke yesterday for it? Because that's the other thing. He's got the Carlos Boozer hair going, where he's like spray painting his head, and it's wiped off onto different players that he's played against.
Well, it certainly happened was ridiculous. In the Knicks game.
I think the Pistons game it did too.
Debatable against the Pistons.
Could that have been?
Well, I see what looks like his fake hairline rubbing off on a shirt.
Spray paint.
But in the Knicks game, it's not even a question that his head touched the other guy's jersey, and next thing you know, there's a big spot on his jersey.
Why is he doing that?
You don't think it's a good look?
Nope. No, I don't.
We have hair doctors we can line him up with.
Sure.
Turp, you should let him know. Let him know that. Just be like, hey.
Like, listen.
I work at WEEI. Yeah. I'm now TV Turp, but I work at WEEI.
We could probably get you a deal.
To help you out.
Dr. Lopresti, right?
That's right. Yeah. Couple ad reads for Jalen Brown.
Around here?
Say it again?
Do we have any business cards laying around here?
Probably. Yeah, bring one.
Oh, yeah, I'll take one tonight.
Ken's probably got some.
Yeah, I'll take one tonight.
Yeah, go pass
it. Add him to the list. Wasn't Ninkovich one of those guys?
Yeah, you don't even ask a question. Yes. You don't even ask a question.
I'll just print out a read for you, Terp. You can hand it to him.
Yeah, that works.
Just hand him a business card.
Next thing you know, off day, boom, he's getting the surgery. Wood Scowl, he watched Iron Man 1 and 2, I think. I heard the ad for him.
Yeah, what would Jalen watch?
I think Portnoy watched Braveheart.
Yeah.
The old ad.
What would Jalen watch? Some like pseudo-intellectual movie.
Some documentary.
Yeah, something like that.
He could theoretically go after a shoot-around before a game.
Definitely.
It's a relatively
bang that
procedure.
Out a couple hours, you get a brand new head of hair.
I think the hairline's a little sensitive after that, so I might want to try to time that up around
that's
break.
True. You may let it heal a little bit if you're Jalen, whatever the hell he was doing with
it. Tobias, when you touch his hair, he's just like, ah! Well, anyway, Terp, good stuff.
Thank you, Terp.
All right.
Check him out here at High Noon every Wednesday, Pure Hoops with Terp.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
WEEI Afternoons in our beautiful Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Andy Hartnick, Fitzy Stevens, talking a little Celtics, talking a little Jaylen Brown, Fitzy, because whether you love him, hate him, or somewhere in between,
or just constantly celebrate him like you.
Absolutely. He needs support. He doesn't get enough support in this town, and that's actually what we're going to get into as it relates to that live stream the other night with his hairline, which was all the talk. Did he really shave his head? There were some AI fake photos on the internet. No, he didn't. He still has hair. It's just a little shorter. I don't know whether he's still spraying anything on the hair to kind of fill in different things that may or may not come off when his head comes in contact to cloth, like another jersey from an opponent. But Jaylen Brown, his hairline has been a lot of chatter about it.
A lot of hubbub. Did you see that exchange between him and Kevin Durant on?
Yeah, that was fake. That was fake.
That was.
I wanted that to be real, but that was fake as that of Pamela Anderson.
That was fake as the spray that was used to cover Jaylen Brown's hair. Really? See, that's why. There was a study recently that said, and this could be fake as well, 50% of everything you read on social media and on the internet these days is AI generated or likely fake.
I'd say it's more like 70.
I think it's more, especially now with these videos from Soro or Sono or whatever is putting out all these videos. You can't believe anything you see on social media. You can just enjoy it. Don't believe it. Just enjoy it.
Yep.
But we had the live stream. And did you catch who, and everybody's going to hear it right now, who Jaylen Brown blames for his hairline issues?
I blame Boston.
You had the civil rights afro for a minute.
I blame Boston.
Not the whole thing. The liberation afro for a minute.
Ten years of stress.
The Frederick joint.
10 years of stress. The media, the championship. Y'all caused this.
So that's Jaylen Brown. Ignore the chatter from his friends and barbers and people in the background talking about civil rights. We're just talking about Jaylen Brown blaming Boston and the media and the stress of winning a title. Do you think there's any truth to that? And is he just talking tongue-in-cheek? Or is this like a kind of a passing joke that also he really kind of believes?
You said it yesterday, and we all believe it, the idea that there's always a little truth in humor.
Yep.
You know, there's a little reality couched in your jokes, your barbs, and your sarcasm. Think of it this way. The pressure in a town like Boston, Josh Minot, we just heard in the last break. Oh, it's so great. How can you not love it here? You just want to perform for these people, this energy. But with that comes elevated expectations. And who has greater expectations than somebody who won a championship, validated that first decade, and his $300 million contract? There's a reason why Jaylen Brown, probably from the day he was drafted to now, looks like the day Barack Obama took office to the day Barack Obama left office.
And he has a very unique pairing. Whatever you think of his relationship with Jason Tatum, that's a unique pairing that they had as consecutive number three overall picks, pillars of the organization. You know, for example, just as just a bad, as you would say, crossing sports, but... Yep. When you're Drake May and Christian Gonzalez, there's no question who the star of the Patriots is. It's the quarterback, right? They're both first-round picks. They're both going to be all pros, whatever. But there's like an obvious hierarchy, especially financially, right? Christian Gonzalez will get paid first, and he'll get 30-something million. Then Drake May will get paid second, and he'll get like 60-something million. Whereas here, especially with the details of the way things played out, Eastern Conference Finals MVP, NBA Finals MVP to Jaylen Brown, not to Jason, there is that like, oh, they're not really an A and a B. They're a 1A and a 1B. They're ones. And so I do think that has caused stress. And then you add in, Fitzy, the off-court stuff. Remember when he was talking about, there's some issues buying houses, starting businesses. Like, I've had stress in the city of Boston.
I didn't love that.
I didn't love it either, but I think he's relating his experiences to you. And so he sees life in Boston as having been fruitful. He got a title and he got a massive contract. So it's been fruitful. It's also
he's not asking to leave. We should also note that.
You can have a fruitful life and it can also be stressful, right?
Correct. That's actually the only way that we all know fruitful, satisfying, fulfilling lives to be. Of course there's going to be stress. Of course there's going to be max effort. Of course you're going to grind, you'll grind it out. I think the thing is, Andy, in this contemporary day and age, people are always more want to or comfortable to share their feelings on these things. Whereas before, 50 years ago, you're not going to have live streams, Twitch streams, IG, blah, blah, where people are going to be sharing their feelings. It was, you either got it on the late news, you got it from your favorite beat writer in the paper, or you didn't hear squat about it.
And he has certainly, not shied away from the topic over the years. Remember, he called himself the most, what was
underappreciated athlete in Boston.
And I agree with him. As a defender of his, I do think he maybe is the most underappreciated player in Boston for everything he's done.
I think
but
he's
also
the most over-discussed athlete in Boston, even though he is an elite athlete.
There is something to do about that, but there's also you know, the praise. Like, he's polarizing. There's a lot of people that like him, and then there's a lot of people that dislike him, similar to Tatum. And I feel like we've gone down this road where if you're a Tatum guy, you can't be a JB guy, and if you're a JB guy, you can't also be a Tatum guy. You got to pick a side, right?
Contemporary day and age where people are making social stances, political stances. He had his affiliations with Kyrie, and then there were, you know, retweeted some stuff, you know, like Kyrie did that people found, I won't say offensive, but a little contemptible. Like, he's not afraid to toe lines that other people wouldn't go anywhere near.
He kicks a few hornet's nests every once in a while. You know, the shoe brand and Nike and all of those things. So put it all together, he's averaging basically 27 points per game. He's also
solid.
Tied for seventh in turnovers. He's been a very, very efficient shooter. There's like layers to what he's doing. The Celtics are 2-3. So I put the poll question today, Fitzy, at Jumbo Hart, at WEEI Afternoons.
Yeah.
Simple question. What do you think of the job Jaylen Brown has done leading the Celtics to open the 2025-2026 season? And the options I gave, good, bad, or meh, were the three options. What do you think is leading, and what would you vote?
Good at 57%.
You're very close. Good at 55% is leading the way.
All right, ballyhoo.
Meh is second at 41%, and only 4% are voting that he's done a bad job leading the Celtics as the number one through five games of the season, which I think for him, he should take that as very optimistic. 96% think he's doing at least an okay job of leading the Celtics. I don't think it's anybody anywhere. Never mind who, you know, Jaylen Brown in Boston or whoever else anywhere. Matt Cassel and Fox. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to take over for the man. Especially week one, week two, like game one, game two. Like, you can settle in and figure it out. And for 96% to be saying, oh, you're doing an okay job, I think that's actually a positive thing. And maybe his hair will grow back because of that.
Probably not. But that said,
not how that works.
This may be the window, Andy, where the appreciation he has felt he has lacked for almost a decade, even with the title and those postseason MVP awards, this may be where he gets his due respect.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.